Have a seat, guys. We're going to let the kids go. We're good? Okay. I got to make sure everybody's ready. Let the kids get out. I got no jokes today. Sometimes I do, but not today. So understanding agape. Last week we started talking about what is love because it's Remembrance Day this month, and February is always talked about as the love month. I know. I'm trying to remember Valentine's Day. I can tell jokes without even trying. So, I'm a little dry today, and I'm hoping my speaking won't be that way, but we'll go with it. See what happens. Understanding agape. So, the Bible speaks of four types of love. That's what we talked about last week. Eros, storge, philia, and agape, right? That's what we talked about last week. Four unique types of love that are described in the Bible. They're not called out necessarily in the Bible, but they're described and talked about. And these four Greek words can be described as family love, brotherly love, or friendship love, romantic love, and God's divine perfect love. I always laughed when you think about, because brotherly love, and what's the place known as brotherly love but Philadelphia, right? And you always think about that, and I don't know if you ever thought about it, but think about the types of things that have come out of Philadelphia. We got Super Bowl champ, you know, Philadelphia Eagles, yes, they're from Philadelphia. But then you got teams that don't seem like there's a lot of love there, like the Broad Street Bullies, the Philadelphia Flyers from the 70s, right? I don't think of love when I think of those guys. Like Bobby Clark with no teeth, or Eric Lindros in the 90s. Like, not guys that I think of love, but yet, city of brotherly love. Then you got movies like Rocky coming out of there. Like, that's not a loving movie. I know they try to make a love twist so that the guys could still watch it with their wives and girlfriends. A good boxing movie. Who doesn't like a good boxing movie, right? Right? Come on. Rocky V was bad, yes, but they were better before that. And the new ones are good. Anyway, I'll stop. Agape. You guys don't share my taste in movies. I'm kind of disappointed. Rocky. It's a classic. Anyway, I like Rocky movies too. So agape, it is the highest form of these four types of love, though. And it's this highest form of love that's described in the Bible. And the term defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for us, for humankind, for mankind, or as Justin Trudeau liked to call it, people kind. Did anybody watch the news? Come on. It's got to get at least a couple laughs. But for it's God's divine love. It's an incomparable love for us, his children. And it's this divine love that comes from God that should spark us on to something more as believers. See, agape love is perfect. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. It's pure. And Jesus Christ defined or demonstrated this kind of love, as we talked about last week, through the way he lived and through the way he died. Through his crucifixion and subsequently his resurrection. So I think, I'm hoping we're all kind of on the same boat here, but all of us, I think, probably want to love like Jesus. Is that true? Do we all want to love like Jesus? Yeah. I think that's a given, right? And the comment I give back is if you don't want to love like Jesus, I think we need to check our hearts at the door and figure out what is going on, because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be imitators of Christ as Christians, right? We're supposed to be like him. Well, if we're missing the most important aspect of who Jesus was, we're missing something. See, Jesus was human too, but he was also God. He was able to see people that he created in a way that we maybe can't. But Jesus personified love. God is love. And that's what the Apostle John tells us in John 4:16. God is love. I don't know, I haven't read anywhere that Nathan is love, or Dave is love, or Gary is love, but God is love. We can love, we can, but we can't do it perfectly like God can. We see other people's faults, don't we? We see when somebody's a little bit stubborn, don't we? We see people's flaws and issues. If somebody smells bad, if somebody, I don't know, has a high forehead. We remember when people slight us and do us wrong, don't we? Because we're people. We refuse to make ourselves as vulnerable as Jesus did. Because we're afraid of getting hurt again. We love, but sometimes hold back, don't we? Because we've been hurt. How many of us have never been hurt by anybody? We've all been hurt by somebody. And I think that's the biggest reason why we hold back on our love for people sometimes. See, we're supposed to just give it away. We're supposed to act like Christ and just love people and not worry about if it's reciprocated back or how we feel. We're just supposed to love people. Yet Jesus tells us, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another." That's John 13:34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." I want to say that again. Just, do you understand that? How does Jesus love us? Does he, "Well, if you do this time for me, then I'm going to love you"? Does Jesus say that? Or does Jesus say, "I love you"? He says, "I love you." So that should be the same attitude we personify, that we live out in our life, is just to love people. It doesn't matter their shortcomings or what they do, but how do we do something that maybe we're a little incapable of because we hold on, we're trying to guard our hearts, don't we? We're trying to guard and make sure we don't get hurt. How do we love like Jesus? I think we love like Jesus by abiding in him. We love like Jesus by abiding in Jesus. By getting to know Jesus, by understanding who Jesus was. That's how we love like Jesus. So in our Christian walk, how many of you find it easy to live out your Christian walk and walk through life on your own power? Is it easy to walk the Christian life on your own? No. But see, Jesus gave us the key. It says in Mark 10:27, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." That includes love. And John wrote about this parable that Jesus taught, the parable of the vine and the branches. How many of you know that parable? If you don't know, we're going to read it. John 15, 1-10 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." So it's saying, we want to show love. We can't show love unless we're abiding in the love giver. Unless we're abiding in Jesus. And unless we're getting to know Jesus, spending time to him to understand who he is. I totally lost my spot. "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown in the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So, as you hear that scripture, I don't hear about holding stuff back. As a matter of fact, I'm hearing about getting more of something, and much of something, and more of something, and more of something. How many times do we hear, you're going to bear more fruit in that scripture? Plenty of times. And he finishes it off by talking about, as the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. So abide in my love. I think that, yes, that scripture's talking about abiding in him, but it's abiding in his love. It's getting to know his love so that we can better understand his love, so that we can share his love with others. This agape love, this unconditional love. Another way that we can love like Jesus is by how? By trusting him, by trusting Jesus. Sorry, I am really dry. So surrendering and abiding are things that we can do through power of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in believers. He guides us to right decisions. He gives us grace to trust God. And when we see selfless Christians who can, what? Love like Jesus, we can be sure that that person is abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in them. Is it easy to love people that give you challenges when you're not abiding in Jesus? When you're not trusting Jesus? No. I don't think you can. Because let me tell you, those people that are hard to love, they're a lot harder to love when you're just doing it on your own. Because you probably don't really like them when you're doing it on your own, right? I think we're all guilty of this a little bit. When we're not trusting Jesus, when we're not spending time with him, those stubborn, difficult people, do you really want to be in the same room with them? Not at all. I know I don't. But when you spend time with the Father, when you get to know him, when you're trusting him, you're abiding in him, it becomes easier to love those people. Because you know what? If God wasn't love, he wouldn't probably want to be in the same room as any of us, would he? But he is love. And because he is love, we can love. Oh, you're on the ball today, Nora. You got up early. So what would be too hard to do on our own loving? We can do through this act of abiding. We continue to abide by doing what? Reading the Bible, by praying, by attending church, by talking to God, by spending time with other believers and building our faith. See, when a plant sprouts and it grows, does it instantly grow fruit? Or does it need to continually grow? You know what I mean? When you have a seed and you throw it in the ground, is it growing fruit? No. It needs to grow. It needs to have some water. It needs to have some light, some fertilizer. What else does it need? Moisture and warmth. Same way, we need to grow. We need to have some fertilizer. We need to have some light. We need to have some warmth, some love. In this way, our trust in God is built up. And like branches on a vine, our Christian life is a growth process. We mature more every day, don't we? When you got saved, did you know everything just like that? Or did it take time? You still don't know everything. We're still going to die someday and be like, I don't understand that. Doesn't make sense. And as we abide in Jesus, we learn more about him. We trust him more. We understand him more, though. The greater our trust in Christ, the greater our compassion is going to be, because we have a better understanding of how much compassion he has on us, how much love he has for us. See, abiding is what matters. And when we live in that truth, we can start to love like Jesus. If you're bitter towards someone, or you don't like how someone looks at you, talks to you, you get angry at them and despise them, how can we say we're abiding in Jesus then? We're not. If I were to go to Nathan and say, well, he is not wearing that same shirt that I made fun of him for before. But if I said, Nathan, you know, you drive me crazy the way you clap your hands. You know, I don't want to be around you. How is that loving? Why would I beat him down? Nathan, I'm glad you're here. Nathan, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're putting your wife's lotion on. It makes your touch soft when I shake your hand. See, we can't get bitter towards people. We can't get angry towards people and dislike them or hate them, because we are whose? We're God's children, right? And God is love. So if we're God's children, we're abiding in him, how can we hate? We can't. How can we be bitter towards people? We can't. So we're to love each other, other believers, with this agape love. No matter what they do to us, no matter what they say. Do you know what I mean? Sharon, you know, Nathan and Mary are driving me crazy. They're driving me berserk. You know, they just, oh, happy, smiling. Like, come on. You can't be happy like that all the time. Seriously, right? Let's get bitter at them. Let's get angry at them. No. Let's celebrate with them that they're happy, that they show God's love. Like we all want to do. That's our goal, is to show God's love in all that we do. Isn't it? I shouldn't pick on them. How many of you have people in your past or in your life that maybe have some unforgiveness with you, or maybe you with them? And we talked about this before, about handling hurt, right? See, that's not what we're called to do. You know what? I get it. It sucks when somebody might have hurt you. But we can't hold on to that unforgiveness. If we walk around in that unforgiveness, my friend Ted, and I know it's an old saying, but my friend Ted always says, if you hold on to unforgiveness, it's like eating poison and expecting them to die. We can't live like that, can we? We have to forgive them and move on. We need to love them. Doesn't matter what's gone on. We need to love, because we are called to love, because our Father, God, is love. See, as soon as we start putting our perspective and our opinion first, we're thinking we're more important than God, right? God is love. He loves everybody. Doesn't matter if they turn their back on him or not. He still loves them, doesn't he? He still loves them. So if somebody's turned their back on you, treated you poorly, don't worry about it, because God is love and we're still called to love them. I think that's hard for us. I think that's a challenge. I had a friend that I was good friends with, and I shared a bit about him last week. But you know what, this guy, we were best of friends. And a lot of stuff happened, and wasn't anything I did to him or he to me. But when I tried to explain a situation to him, his comment to me in the end was, you know what? I don't want to be friends. I'll say hi to you. You know what? That's not what God called us to do. As a believer to another believer, you should always love. You know what? Get over yourself if you're not loving somebody, because that's what it is. You're letting yourself become elevated. Jesus told us to love each other. Did he not? I'm just going to leave that open. He called us to love each other. See, we read God is love in 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Or 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. See, to give you a summary of what God is love, you can read it in 1 John 4:7 to 21. See, the Lord shows you how you can reflect his love to others, your friends, your family, and your enemies. God shows us how to do that. And you know what? God's love is unconditional. Doesn't matter if they've hurt you. You still need to love them. Doesn't matter if maybe you've grown apart. You still need to love them. See, the thing that happens, and I went for wings with a couple friends of mine from Lloydminster. And I hadn't seen these guys in over a year. We live in the same town. I hadn't seen them in over a year. And you know what? It was like we saw each other yesterday. Why? Because the love of God is living in both of us, and you should be able to connect with somebody. And you may run out of things to talk about, but you should still be able to connect and love them in a way that Christ loves us. It shouldn't be like, well, you know what? We don't talk anymore, so I don't really have anything to say to you. You're dead to me. No. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. It should be love. See, God doesn't love us just when we please him, does he? God doesn't love us just when we connect with him and spend time with him, does he? God doesn't love us because we love him first, does he? See, here's the thing. Love isn't just an attribute of God. Love isn't something that God just does. Love isn't a characteristic. Right? It's trying to look for the right word. Love isn't just something that he does, though. Love is God's nature. Love is who God is. And when we get saved and Christ comes into our life, love needs to become who we are. It can't be just based on the circumstances and situations in our life. We need to be love. Let's read 1 John 4:7 to 21. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit. We have his Spirit living in us as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. And we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. And as we live in God, Our love grows more perfect. And so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. What does that mean? If we're living like Jesus here in this world, we're loving no matter what's going on. We're loving. Guys, we need to love. There was a guy, Fernando somebody, back in the day. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Fernando Bertinelli or something like that. And he was an Italian guy, and he was just like, I love everybody. That's my best Italian accent. I don't know what it sounded like, but because I'm sick, it probably sounded worse. So let's keep going. In verse 18, we read, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels what? It expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. We didn't deserve it, but he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believer. Sometimes that should hit us right between the nose. You know when you, maybe you haven't been punched on the nose, but when you get punched on the nose, what happens to your eyes? They water a little bit, don't they? You know what? That should hit us right on the nose sometimes. And our eyes should water a little bit. And not from the pain of being punched in the nose, but maybe because we should be a little bit saddened. That maybe we haven't loved as we've been called to love. See, we can't beat ourselves up due to this though. Okay? And I'm not telling you this to beat you up. I'm not saying you guys suck. You guys are awful people. How do you call yourself a believer? No, I'm encouraging you guys to love people. To love because God loves you. See, God alone can love this completeness and perfect love. But we can start moving towards that as we abide in him and as we trust in him. As we let go of our reservations and we move towards him. See, God loves us. So what does that mean? We need to love others. We need to love one another. Love is the true test of Christianity. Do we believe that the character of God, of who God is rooted in love? Do you? Is God love? Yeah, he is. Do we receive God's love in our relationship with him? Does God love us when we enter into this relationship? Yeah. What we need to do is start sharing his love in our relationships with others. And more than that, when I say sharing, I'm not meaning just giving, but I mean getting it back too. We need to be loving each other as we're in relationship with each other because we're in relationship with God. Sounds like a twisted web there that I just spun when I said that. But we need to love each other and allow others to love us. We need to not live in judgment and ridicule and persecution, but we need to live in freedom and get rid of that fear because God loves us. We're going to break down two verses, and we read them already. 1 John 4:8. And we're going to go through in different versions of the Bible because people say, well, is that what they're really saying? So the NIV in 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So what does the ESV say, the English Standard Version? It says, anyone who does not love God, does not know God, because God is love. It's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? So let's jump down to the NLT, the New Living Translation. But anyone who does not love God, does not love, does not know God, for God is love. Again, same thing. Some of you guys like the New King James Version. Let's go there. Let's jump there and see what that has to say. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Still says the same thing, doesn't it? And then we'll go to the King James Version. For some of you guys that are, I only want to read it in that text that's ordained by God. That's my old Bible preacher voice. Once again, not good with accents. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. It says the same thing. If you don't love, you don't know God. Because God is love. How can you say you know somebody? How can you say you're in relationship with somebody that is love and not know love? You can't, because that person, that God, is love. Let's go to 1 John 4:16, where it says in the NIV, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. English Standard Version, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The NLT, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The New King James Version, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In King James Version, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I hope you guys are getting the picture here. That we need to love each other. We need to love them, the community. But first off, we need to share this agape love with other believers. Because if we're not loving, if we're not showing love, then how can we say that we're with God? Because God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. And as we read in the verse earlier, whoever does not love does not know God. I hope that's a wake-up call for us. See, God gives this love unconditionally to us, unreservedly to us. Because we're undeserving and inferior to him, aren't we? God is so great, yet he loves us. Anders Nygren says, agape love is unmotivated in the sense that it is not contingent on any value or worth in the object of love. It is spontaneous and heedless, for it does not determine beforehand whether love will be effective or appropriate in any particular case. God just loves us. He just loves us because we're his children. He loves us. He wants us to love. John 3:16, it's a verse we probably all have quoted since we were three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's how much God loves us. As we celebrated communion last week, that's why we celebrated. Because God loves us. He loves the world. He wants the world to know him. He wants the world to connect with him. He wants relationship with the world. But he wants us to be connected with each other as well, to love each other. Yeah, it's hard. Some days it's hard. Believe me, some of us aren't all that loving or able, you know what I'm saying. Some of us make it difficult to be loved, don't we? Sometimes some of us are a little bit jerkish. Sometimes we're a little standoffish because we're like, nope, I'm not moving. This is my hill and I'm going to die on it. Right? Some of us, we make it hard to love us. Sometimes your kids are like, oh, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not doing the dishes. But you still have to love them, don't you? Yeah. See, we need to love each other. We're called to love each other. We're called to be love. John 14:21 says, whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. See, we need to keep his command. What's his command? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? We're going to talk more about that next week, what that means. But I really want to hit this home, guys. Everything we do should be in love. As believers, we should be able to be recognized by what? Not by our fancy house, not by our sweet wheels that we got parked outside. We need to be recognized by our love. Our love for one another, our love for him. Let all that you do be done in love. That's 1 Corinthians 16:14. I use that verse when I'm finishing weddings. That's the last scripture I always use. Really? That should be the last scripture we use every Sunday. Everything that we do needs to be done in love. That's what the Apostle Paul exhorted the Corinthians to do. To remember the importance of love. He wanted them to show love in everything that they did. Paul exalted love as the highest standard in this letter. Love for God and the love for people was to motivate everything that we do. Love is huge. Love is so important. We need to remember that. So as we close today, I want to remind you, 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done in love. Everything. Doesn't matter if they've hurt you. Doesn't matter if they've wronged you. Doesn't matter if they don't even want to love you. All that we do needs to be done in love. We need to be recognized by our love. I know it's not always easy to be a believer. I know we hear things sometimes about us that don't always feel good, right? But let all that we do be done in love. Because that's what we're called to do. Because we're loved. The Father loves us. All that we do needs to be done in love. Can you say that with me? Let all that we do be done with love. Let's say it again. I'll do 1, 2, 3 for you guys so we can say it together. I want you to say it like you actually believe it, though. If you don't believe it, don't say it. But then let's read the scriptures again, and I can talk for another 20 minutes. Because I think it's so important that we get this. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Let all that we do be done in love. Guys, that's 1 Corinthians 16:14. Write it on your doorstep. If you need some artsy thing, I'm sure Mary can come help decorate from a magazine for you. Maybe we can get the lady that does the painting downtown on the doors and stuff and all those cool things on Barnwood. Maybe we should get those made up for as we leave the church. Maybe you should get that for your home. That's the last thing you see. Maybe put it at the foot of your bed for when you wake up and say, let all that I do today be done with love. Guys, we're called to love. I encourage you to love. Yes, it's February and we're talking about love because it's Valentine's Day. I got it right this time. But we need to remember that every single day of the year, 365 or 366, depending on what year you're in, all that we do be done in love. Because that's what we're called to do. Because why? Because God loved us first. Right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. Father, I pray right now that if we've been hurt, God, that you would fill that hurt spot. That you would fill that void that might ache still and cause us to have difficulty with this love. Father, when we're hurting and we don't know who we should love or why we should love somebody, God, I pray that you would just remind us that you loved us even when we make mistakes. God, I pray that you would just encourage us with love. God, allow us to live in love. Father, let all that we do be done in love. This is a challenging thing for us as people, God. And I know you know that. Father, I pray that you would just let us know your love and how great your love is for us. And God, I pray. Father, I pray that we're known to be your children because we love, because we live in love. God, you're so good to us. You love us so much, even when we don't deserve it. But you love us. And Father, I pray that we love back and that we love others. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your son, Jesus.